Good day and welcome to the National All Vocational Rehabilitation Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Regina Bowden. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our first teleconference call for 2018. Welcome and Happy New Year. I trust everyone had wonderful holiday vacation. We have a full agenda, as we usually do. But before we get started, I just wanted to fill you in on a few changes with the VR team and in OTOPS. First of all, Desiree Fitzgerald, and many of you have worked with her and known Desiree for a long time. She was the deputy director for OTOPS. She retired last week from Social Security. Danielle Armstrong, the VR team supervisor, is on a detail assignment away from the Office of Ticket Operations and Provider Support, which is OTOPS, and OTOPS, we're responsible for administering the cost reimbursement program, of course. And then Katie Streibringer, who is our systems person, she has a new addition to her family, and she's on leave for a couple of months. So I just wanted to make everyone aware of those changes that we have in OTOPS. Now, we still have our VR experts who are here with us today, Raquel Donaldson, Shada Roper, Candace Whaley, Shauna Dixon, and they're here to assist you on all VR matters, and they also are manning the help desk. Without any other delay, I'm going to just turn the call over to Raquel, who will speak on the first topic. And as usual, after we have went through these agenda items, we will open the floor for any questions that you might have. Okay, thanks, everyone. Raquel?
Thanks, Regina. Happy New Year, everyone. I just wanted to start with system support. Unfortunately, Alexis Weinwich, which I'm sure you all have either spoken to or received emails from in regards to system support, she's unable to be with us. She did ask me to point out a couple of things to all of the VRs. The first one is a portal user should log into the portal at least one time every 90 days to make sure you're not suspended for lack of use. And if a portal user is having trouble logging in and they know that they have not accessed the portal in quite some time, more than likely the account has been suspended. And in order to get the account unsuspended, you can just contact the help desk, and Alexis can help you with that. So that's issue number one. The second one is SSA should be notified of any staffing changes that the VR agency makes, especially anyone dealing with the portal. So if you have a portal user that's no longer there, or if you have a new employee that you know is going to need access to the portal, we ask that you contact us as soon as possible. When you have someone leave, we need to make sure that we deactivate their account as soon as possible. So those are the two issues from Katie and Alexis that they asked me to bring up. In regards to current earnings, you know that now we get the earnings much quicker. It used to be quarterly. Now it's, I believe, monthly that we're receiving information in. Might be actually faster than that. Paper claims. The only thing that I wanted to remind everyone of in regards to paper claims is we do not accept paper claims other than those that we've already given permission to. If you don't have someone in the portal, then we're already aware of that, then we do accept the paper claim. If there's information where we're having issues with our fax machine or issues like that where we've already talked to you and said, go ahead and fax or email or mail it, that's fine. Other than that, if you have at least one person in the portal, then you are required to upload your claims to the portal. They can't be sent paper claims to us. Lastly is cost formula. Just in regards to the supporting documentation, a lot of you are breaking my email already, which is awesome, with submitting your cost formulas for fiscal year 18. I just wanted to remind everyone to please remember to send me everything, which includes the RSA 2 and the RSA 113. You do not need to do the cost formula worksheet and the Excel spreadsheet that Eugenia put together a couple of years ago for your help. You can do one or the other. You know, it's six in one, a half in the other, so I don't mind half dozen of the other. So I don't mind either way. I'll approve it and review it either way. So that's that. And if you have any questions in regards to the cost formula or need to know who your regional coordinator is, because when you submit that information or whoever it is in the agency submitting the information, they should be CCing your regional coordinator. So some of you are fairly new and don't even know who the regional coordinator is. If you have questions, just email me directly or the help desk, and I'll be more than happy to provide you with that person's information. Lastly, this is not on the agenda, and I apologize for this. This was actually just passed to me. Your regional coordinators asked that I let you all know about a request that was posted to the Federal Register back on January 3rd. It says, request for information, strategies to improve adult outcomes for youth receiving supplemental security income. Again, it was posted to the Register on January 3rd. Through this notice, they're soliciting feedback from interested parties on potential policy changes and demonstration projects related to improving the transition of youth receiving SSI from childhood into adulthood. Again, if you have any questions on it, I do apologize that it wasn't on the agenda earlier. I literally just received it at 2:45. But if you have any questions in regards to this or where to find this Federal Register posting, please contact your regional coordinator. Again, if you don't know who it is, just email me and I can help you with that as well. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to Ms. Shada Shada Shandy Roper.
Good afternoon, everyone, and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2018. I want to begin by saying thank you so much for bearing with us, for working with us, for all you VRs who were able to come out on your Saturdays and help us with all the systems releases that we had for 2017 going into this new automated system. So we thank you. We appreciate you working with us and understanding that it's a process and it takes time. We're definitely doing so much better, and we'll get there. So we asked for automation, and we're pretty much there now. According to the new guidelines of WIOA, and we're trying to make sure that we're keeping ourselves posted and abreast to all the information that's being put out by WIOA and all your guidelines and what RSA is asking of you. If for whatever reason you are unable to get the 113 from your finance department, we know that you are to be using the RSA 911 in lieu of that 113. So, therefore, when you're submitting your cost formulas to Raquel, if it's on the RSA 911, obviously we are aware of that, and that's perfectly acceptable. So we want you to go ahead and just keep submitting those cost formulas. The deadline is still the same, so I know Raquel gave you all the information just a moment ago about cost formulas, but her deadline is the same. If by chance that you need an extension, as always, you can email the help desk, and she'll work with you on whatever it is that you need as far as that's concerned. The portal. So some of the VRs are not on the JMARO ticket tracker. You have other ways of getting your claims through the portal. We are urging you to please, please be the ones to input those costs. When the costs aren't input and it comes across to us on our end, we, too, have to input those costs, and it is very timely. Some of the same things that happen to you where the screens time out, they time out for us, too. When you have pages and pages of costs, then it makes it very difficult for us to put in all that information. So we're urging you to do your best to put in those costs for us. In addition, if by chance you are unable to, having to do with the portal timing out and the screen, and you do submit those 199 to us, we need you on those 199 to actually not just put the description of the item, but we need a code with it. Here's the situation. Some VRs don't follow exactly the RSA code in or the SSA code in, so then we're left with these descriptions where we're trying to figure out what code to match to it. And because the system is designed that we have to use a code, we absolutely need the correct information to put in, because if you're later audited and it doesn't match what we said or what we guessed, then you're audited and you could lose money. And not only to your end, but to our end, when we get audited, we have to have the most accurate information. So when you're attaching those 199s, you're printing out those fact sheets and then putting the fact sheets through the portal, please remember that not to just put the description, but it would be best to put a code with the description or the code only. And that is it for right now. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Candace Whaley for reconsideration of untimely filing.
Good afternoon, everybody, and Happy New Year. First, I'm going to go over reconsideration claims and untimely filing of reconsideration claims, and then the duplicate payments. So first, we want to reiterate that the request of VR payment function is not working in the portal for reconsideration work cases. So any claims denied prior to March 2017 or from the old system, please submit the claim as an initial claim, and on the remarks tab, enter recon and the reason for resubmitting the reconsideration. The receipt date of initial claim denied. The reason is ITOPS cannot propagate the receipt date from any claims denied in the old system, and we need this date to avoid any unnecessary denials for untimely filing for the reconsideration claims. Next, we're going to go over the duplicate payments. Please be careful when submitting work cases for payment. We have had multiple duplicate work cases, and we've had to delete them in our system. ITOPS is not designed to stop duplicate work cases from being created. It's only to stop for the same VR period and the same VR once paid from Treasury. If you have your payment scheduled for a later date on hold and you submit duplicate work cases, the payment will process, which will result in an overpayment. And we've had a few of these this month, so we wanted to make sure that we went over that. Next, I'm going to turn this over to Shauna Dixon, and she's going to talk about the negative expenditures that we've had on the agenda.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. I just wanted to basically remind everyone that on December the 15th, a blast went out, and just explaining that due to system limitations, we cannot accept any claims through the portal through our system when they come through as refunds. Our system will not allow us to process those, so they will be denied using code 310. If you see this denial, just realize that this is what's happening. Your claim came over with a negative expenditure, which on your end is probably just an expenditure that you received a refund for. Our system will not allow us to accept the claim without the exact cost matching what you submitted for your expenditures. But blast did go out for this on December the 15th, and I wanted to just reiterate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Shauna. This is Raquel again, everyone. Unfortunately, Patrice McLean.
Raquel, I'm here.
Oh, and here she is.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Patrice McLean, and I work in the Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support. And Raquel asked me to jump on the line to answer a couple of questions about the BPQI proof of concept. So one of the questions that we received was for an update on the benefits planning query proof of concept and the possibility of expansion. I wanted to give everyone just a brief update on where we were. Since the inception of the proof of concept in 2015, we're going on 3 years now. In March, it'll be 3 years. We've received 36,516 requests, and we've responded to 32,053 of those requests with a BPQI. And the difference between that number is that some cases have been denied for reasons such as perhaps the forms that were used were not the correct forms, or someone didn't sign the release form or the authorization form had the wrong SSN or date of birth, et cetera, et cetera. Other forms were or other requests were referred to the field office because due to system limitations, we weren't able to respond to the BPQI request. Our average processing time is about 5.1 days. Right now, we're just a little bit below that. We're responding to cases today that we received on January 3rd. So when you consider the weekend, we're at below 5 business days. There are times where we do fall behind just based on staffing. But right now we're doing pretty good with handling the work that is coming in our way. We're pretty much teetering at capacity at this point. As far as the possibility of expansion, there are no existing plans right now to expand the proof of concept, but we are training as of today and last week three additional individuals to conduct the PLC process so that they can help us to reduce any backlog that we incur and also if possible then expand. Now, I will also say that we are working with other peers within Social Security to see if we can come up with a new BPQI program, which is the purpose of the proof of concept. We wanted to demonstrate through the proof of concept that if we centralize the process, we can respond electronically and we can respond in a much quicker time frame than some of our field offices are able to, and also allow field office representatives to reallocate their resources to other priorities. I think that at this point the concept has been proven, and so we're moving forward with working with peers in SSA to see if we can redesign a newer and a better BPQI application. The current application that we're using is dated, and our major priority is building a new one so that we don't lose our ability to produce this document altogether. For those who are interested in participating in the proof of concept, we still keep a list of organizations that are interested, so that even if we're not extending an invitation at this time, we'll still have a list of organizations who are, so that we can start there if we do identify the capacity to expand at any point soon. I'm going to give the email address that you can send your name and organization to so that we can put you on our waiting list. If you've already given us your name, know that you are on our waiting list. We do have quite a few organizations that are interested. But if you're not on the waiting list yet, or if you want to double check whether or not your name is listed, you can send an email to ordes.bpqy.poc@ssa.gov. Again, that's ordes, O-R-D-E-S, .bpqy.poc@ssa.gov. The other question that we received was, are there any plans to include the BPQI in the MySSA account? And the answer to that is a resounding yes, 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 yes. Our ultimate goal is to allow BPQI production through the MySSA account. However, we're also looking into the short-term solution of creating a new BPQI application, because we found that the MySSA route is a bit challenging. I'm sure as VR organizations, you're aware that the MySSA account does not allow you to do certain things for third parties, and right now it looks like the BPQI would be one of those things. Because it is a document that we need to review authorization for, we haven't found a way around manual review of that authorization form. Perhaps there's a way that we can link the MySSA from the beneficiary through the portal, so that perhaps, I really don't know. I'm grasping for straws here, but the problem is we don't have a way of submitting authorization forms that we can manually review and send automatically through the MySSA account. So that's been our challenge, and not just logistically, but also policy-wise. It's definitely caused some hurdles for us. So we are looking into it, but are definitely going to have to get very, very creative. So it is our end goal. We do hope to be able to at some point produce the BPQI through the MySSA account. But in the meantime, just because our current BPQI application is dated and we don't want it to go bad on us so that we can't create the BPQI, we are working on the redesign of a new BPQI application so that we can work with that until the MySSA account hurdles are flattened. And that is all that I had. Those are the two questions that we had for the BPQI proof of concept. I will turn over to Raquel at this point. I'm not sure if you wanted to open up for, I don't know if you do questions or anything. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patrice.
No problem.
I didn't know whether Patricia was going to be on the call or not because she had another commitment, so I really appreciate her taking the time to sprint from one commitment to the next. So thank you for that.
You're more than welcome.
Kevin, we are going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for questions.
All right, thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please respond by pressing star 1 on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, press star 1 for questions. We'll take our first question from Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Eugenia.
Hey, just a few questions. On the systems support, I know Katie isn't there, but does anybody know when the next portal system update is going to be?
Good afternoon, Eugenia. This is Shada. At this time, we're looking at systems issues. We have compiled some of the other issues that we're having, but we do not have any exact date to give you.
Okay. Yeah, because and when you do know when the system update's going to go out, will you somehow let us know when that will be and what is going to be corrected on those updates?
Eugenia, we'll do our best to give you that information. However, do realize that when we have those updates, those are tentative dates. We're working along with our systems analysts and our systems teams. They have different criteria for doing what they do, and their systems have to match with ours. They have a validation and testing, so there's a lot that goes into it. So we tend not to have exact information to pass on to you, like, for weeks in advance.
Okay. Danielle, did you mention something about current earnings? I didn't hear it if you did.
Eugenia, Danielle's not on the call.
Oh. Okay. Did somebody mention?
I did. This is Raquel. I'm not sure if you were on the call when Regina opened it up. Danielle is actually on a detail.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything on the current earnings, or?
I mentioned the current earnings. They come in now on a monthly basis as opposed to quarterly like we used to receive. So.
Okay. And then my other question is, were you able to update the Excel spreadsheet that we put out? Because you had mentioned that there were some changes in the RSA 2 for the cost formula?
Yes, I emailed everyone the new your spreadsheet and mine.
Okay, so because I know they had changes in last year's RSA 2, and we corrected the spreadsheet for that. But I didn't know if there was new changes as of this year in the RSA 2, and I just didn't know what those were.
Did you receive the email?
I did. Yeah, I received your email and then the spreadsheet. But I just didn't know if that spreadsheet had been updated. Did you resend out the spreadsheet?
Yeah. Did you get the updated spreadsheet?
Yeah. Okay. So it did get updated. And that spreadsheet that went out for the cost formula is not set up for the RSA 113. So just so everybody knows, I mean, for the RSA 911, it's set up for the RSA 113. So just so people know. Do we have any word on the CUBER, the federal or the new higher federal wage reporting that would be available to us? Is there anything about that?
Hi, this is Regina Eugenia. That was something that Katie, I think with our last call, we said that the reason that we hadn't reinstated it was due to just the resources to do that. You know, the system's resources, and with Katie being out, until she gets back, we won't be able to address that. So if you'll just bear with us, hopefully this year we'll get it back. But again, it's just due to we don't have the system's resources to do it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And then I wanted to know, when you mentioned doing an initial claim for a reconsideration, and it's, you said to enter the date, the original, you enter it in the comments as a reconsideration, but also you mentioned a date. You wanted a date for when the initial claim was submitted or when the initial claim was denied?
When the initial claim was submitted. The actual receipt date that you submitted that original claim, that needs to be on the remarks.
Okay, okay, because we haven't been putting that on, so okay. So it's going to be
I know,
okay.
I noticed that. I've been looking at a few of the recons, and that's why I decided to go over that with you guys this afternoon, because if you don't have that receipt date in the comments, once that claim is created, the only technician an analyst sees is the date that you created it in the portal. And so, of course, a lot of them are being considered untimely filing because that date is nowhere on that document. So that way, if you put it in the remarks tab, it'll show a pop-up on our side, and they'll be able to see that date.
Okay.
And again,
we'll
that's
have to work
for the claims that were denied in Vermis.
Okay.
Prior
so we'll
to
have to
2017.
Yeah, we'll have to work with Jay Morrow about somehow popping those into the comments, because ours are done in batch format. So
okay.
So I don't know that we knew that before. And then so if there is a negative expenditure when a claim goes in, it denies the whole claim? Just automatically denies the whole claim or just denies the payment?
Shauna, do you want to go over
Jane, this is Shauna. No, what's going to happen is the entire claim is going to be denied because your total is not matching. That's going to throw your entire total off. So we won't be able to process the claim.
Yeah, I'm sure that Jay's on the call, so I'm sure he's going to have some questions, too, so I'll let you go. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Eugenia.
We go next to Drew Cochran. Please go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, calling from Ohio. The young lady that was just speaking about the 320s, so we rebill those as a reconsideration or an initial, what would you like us to do?
Hey, how you doing? This is Shauna. At this point, the claim just needs to match. The total for what you're asking for needs to match the total at the bottom of the claim. That's it. If there's a refund that somehow through, because you're submitting your claim through Ticket Tracker, that's showing up as a refund on our end, we just cannot process the claim. So I believe that's an issue on Jay Morrow's end, that I believe he said he may be working on something. I'm trying to remember a previous email.
I mean, that's very hard to match up with a case management system. He's working with our IT department. But when I enter it, it comes through as a positive number. It's no longer negative. And you denied several yesterday.
Right. That's not an issue on our end. That's all I'm saying. That's an issue with Ticket Tracker. So we don't have – there's no work.
Well, no, I'm doing them manually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Ticket Tracker. So when it's denied as a 310
– that's the ones I've noticed that are coming through through Ticket Tracker. Not that that's the only issue that we're having, but – there's just no workaround for it right now as far as our systems is concerned. There is no workaround for it, and we're not accepting paper claims. So until there's through your accounting, through finance, I'm not sure. You have to work it out some kind of way internally that when you submit a claim, the total matches the total including the expenditures. You can't have just that refund.
You can't even submit a claim manually if it doesn't match. It won't even submit. That's what I'm trying to say. When you enter it manually as a reconsideration or initial and it goes through your system manually, you guys are still denying those. So how would you like us to rebuild those? If it doesn't match, you can't even go on to the second screen.
Drew, if you could by chance send us screenshots of what's happening to you, that's the only way we would know if something is working or not working. So in the meantime, Candace and I'll take page-by-page screenshots as you're working through the claim, and then that will give us a better gauge of what is happening with your claim.
especially if you're doing it manually.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through. It's just one got denied as timely filing. Okay, and then I'll do that. I'll take screenshots. And then
so
my other
just
question.
Be an issue.
What's that?
Yeah, I was just saying it may be an issue. If you're saying one was denied as untimely filing, it just may have been denied an error and not caught on the technician's end or something like that, if you submitted it manually. So, yeah, if you could just submit that SSN and that specific case, we can take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll send you a list of all the ones that were denied as 310s.
Okay.
That way you
and these are all claims that you submitted manually, correctly?
Yeah. I uploaded them manually. Yeah. And one out of like 10 denied.
Okay. Yeah. Let's take a look at
filing. So, yeah, I'll do that. And then regarding the 400s, we just had this happen last week where five denied, stating, good cause was found for the individual's refusal to accept VR services. That was denied incorrectly. Those were all successful closures. So I was just wondering, could you please explain the steps you take to establish that conclusion?
I usually work – this is Candace, I'm sorry. I usually work all the ticket not assigned cases. So if the ticket if the client is ticket eligible and you submit a claim, the ticket has to be assigned in use. As long as the ticket is eligible – and you submit the claim, it should have in use. What happens is you have to report monthly. If the ticket is not showing an assignment on our records, then I have to deny the claim. And I've looked at four or five of yours, and you haven't had any of the tickets assigned. That's why they were denied.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. Okay, I'll talk with our yeah, the gentleman.
I think we discussed this. We discussed this a couple months ago, too, if I'm not mistaken. And I kind of explained everything to you that moving forward, we always have to make sure that the ticket is assigned in use if the client is ticket eligible.
Yeah, that was actually
because that
another
basically
denial.
That covers you and also the EN for working with that client. It's not fair for the EN if they're going to try to get payment for a claim, and you get paid for it, but the ticket was never assigned. So that's why we have to make sure that the ticket assignment is very important, especially after 2012.
Absolutely. So what would you like us to do with those denials?
Well, at one time, we were saying that you could go ahead and see if you can retroactively assign it in the portal. I don't know if we're going to still work on that. I was talking to Katie about that last month. So what I'll do is I'll get in contact with her. She's on maternity leave, but I can still contact her on certain things and find out how we'll be able to do that working moving forward to see if we can actually get these claims paid. But as long as the EN has not assigned a ticket yet. See, we have to cover our SSA side, too, because if we get audited and so the ticket is not assigned and we paid you, that's a regulation on our part, too. So we have to abide by policy and regulations. That's why I review everything from the time that the claim was submitted, from the time if the actual ticket was terminated, the time that you mailed in the claim. I look at everything before I deny it. So please know, if you have a 400, I've usually looked at everything, dotted my I's and crossed the T's.
Oh, no, I completely understand.
Before I deny
understand.
Your claim.
I understand that you have to follow the regulations. I'll talk with our system guy to make sure everything's in use going forward. I'll just wait on your reply on, going forward regarding the five that were denied, if there's anything else we can do to get those reconsidered.
And if we can, I will be sure to make sure we get it taken care of, okay?
Thank you, ladies. That's all
You're
I have.
You're welcome.
Yep.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Scott Brown. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Scott from California. I have a couple of questions. Will we be receiving a recap for federal fiscal year 2017?
Hi, Scott. This is Raquel. Unfortunately, if you do receive it, it won't be back. It won't be until Katie Strybinger is back from, and I'm not even sure if that's going to happen then, just because of everything else that we've requested from systems that takes priority over that.
Okay. Another question is, when will TPRs begin for Ticket to Work beneficiaries?
The other area handles that. This is Regina and Obo, so we'll have to check with them, and then we'll get back to you.
Okay.
So we can get a date for you. We'll get back to you. What's your name again?
Scott Brown. I'm out of California.
Okay, Scott. We'll get back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have one last question. There's kind of been the popular topic about about negative expenditures. I believe Jay Morrow probably asked some questions, but we were just curious how other states are handling the negative expenditures, and more especially of using the Aware Case Management and Jay Morrow's tracker software, how they're handling these situations.
How you doing? This is Shauna. Any state right now, the rule is across the board, so there is not, you know, a specific code we're using for a specific state. Right now, this is still the conclusion of SSA. Due to the system limitations, we just aren't allowed to accept these type of claims at this time. So you will be receiving this 310 denial. Once the technician goes in to process the claim and it shows up, refund for expenditure requested, it's going to go off the entire total for the claim, and they will not be able to process the claim. So right now, this is for any state. This is for all states.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We're going next to Don Duvall. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Don. I just had a couple of questions about claim processing time. On the average, how long is it taking you guys to process a claim that's filed through the portal?
Hi, Dawn. That depends on what happens with the claim. As we continue to remind you, we do first in, first out, so we're looking at the months that the claims were input through the portal, and then the claims are then assigned by the month that they were input. But remember, we have other things that are happening, like if you don't have those costs, then we are the ones inputting the costs. Sometimes it could take a while to do one claim. It depends on the claim, the size of the claim, and the month we are on. We are definitely going through, I believe, September at this point in time, maybe even October. So we are doing it on a month-by-month, first-in, first-out basis for the claims as usual.
Okay, so it sounds like you're about in October's claims at this point, roughly?
Oh. Roughly, yes.
Okay. And then I haven't received any notices of determinations in a few months, and I just wondered, is there any type of document that you guys put out that is a list of all deposits made to our state?
Don, we're asking that you check the portal for everything. So when you have claims that are paid, allowed, denied, it appears in the portal.
Okay,
so I am looking in the portal for all that information.
I'm downloading the Excel spreadsheet on that. Like, for instance, I have one that shows as a paid claim. However, our fiscal department can't find anywhere that there was a deposit made for that amount of money. So I guess if there's a particular instance, maybe I should just contact you through the help desk?
Right. Is this the one that you just emailed about to the help desk?
Yes.
Okay. So once that's reviewed, then either Shada or myself will follow up with you.
Okay. And then one last thing I wanted to bring up. The portal is indicating that I have 15 claims pending, and my records, it should be more like 28. So is there some reason why I wouldn't see them all in there? I mean, we haven't received any payments or notices or anything since October, and so I'm showing that I have submitted 28 claims since then, but the portal's only indicating that there are 15 claims pending for me.
Dawn, make sure that when you do submit your claims that you are getting the work case numbers and it's not rejecting them. We know we've had instances where people have had to go back in and make sure that they were submitted, so you have to make sure that they were submitted correctly in the portal.
Right, and when I do that in the ticket tracker, it says right away whether or not there's an issue or problem, and so I would have dealt with that then.
We'll look into the missing claims.
Okay.
Just email
like
the help desk.
Just kind of out here hanging in space, not knowing what's going on with my claims because there's really no way of knowing.
We're definitely working claims, and we're definitely working them as they come. So please be patient with us. But in addition, at the moment that you realize for whatever reason your claims aren't getting submitted, then it would behoove you to email the help desk immediately, because we've had other states where it's been a problem and they just resent it and then the claims went through, and then we know if something's happening or not happening.
Okay, so it might be in my best interest to send an email with those 13 missing claims and ask about a status?
Yeah, so when you do that, Dawn, just email, make sure you're just including the SSN. Include the SSN, the client's name, and the VR enter date when they first enter, and then the amount, because that makes it much easier for us and quicker for us to look those up in the system.
And if you have that work case number, Dawn, that's what helps us. So if you're saying you received a work case number once you submitted it, then we should be able to use that work case number.
Okay. And I've seen that some of them said held on this. Does that mean – what does that mean?
Dawn, you have a payment relief date. You have a payment relief date for Alaska, and your payment relief date is the first of each month. So anything that's processed from January 2nd on is going to be held until the first of the next month. That was the payment relief date you chose.
Okay, right. No, I understand that, but okay. All right, I guess that's all the questions I have. Thanks.
Dawn, email the help desk, and I'll also send you a list of the decision, ITOP's decision codes for what is happening when you have a payment, from what's allowed to what's held, so that you know where you stand when you're following those letters in ITOP.
Okay. Yeah, it's just confusing because I get these notices of determination that tell me what's going to happen with that claim. But then if I email the help desk that I don't agree with that, or there's a problem, or it gets reconsidered for whatever reason, there's not like a follow-up notice. And so I don't know what's going to happen. And so when I'm looking for payments, or the fiscal department's looking for payments, I don't have a document that shows the correct amount that I'm looking for in fiscal.
Okay. Also, I believe Annie put this on a call, that if you're having any problems with your notices, you didn't receive the notice have the incorrect amount, there's anything with the notices, that you are supposed to email the help desk or contact me directly having to do with your notices.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, ladies.
We'll go next to Jay Morrow. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I just had a few questions here and some clarifications. One of them is there any way to look up a claim by work case ID or SSN on the portal? I know a lot of people like to find out what the status is on a specific case, and I have not known of any way to do that, and I was curious if that functionality is on there somewhere that I'm just not aware of.
Hi, Jay. This is Raquel. Definitely not with the SSN. They have the spreadsheet, the Excel spreadsheet that they can download to look up that information. and search the work case that way or the SSN that way, but they can't go into the portal.
Yeah, on those, it's pretty difficult, though, sometimes because you have to put in a date range. And so if you're not really sure what exactly happened, like if you're looking for was there a payment made, and you have to know the date range that payment was made in. And so it becomes difficult to find an individual record without some way to, like, filter it out just by those fields. So I'm wondering if that could be something that could be considered to be added in a future update, is a way to just look up, like, what happened on a specific case or an individual, and that way just get, like, a kind of summary, like, this case is pending, I got rejected or whatever. So then if your records are incorrect, that you can go back, like the VR agency's records are incomplete, they can go and look up that individual record and then, get everything reconciled. Hello?
We're with you, Jay.
Okay. So I would just like to submit that as a recommendation to be able to look up cases individually. I think it would help out in everybody's record keeping. On the negative expenditures, I just wanted to clarify a little bit how those records are coming in for anybody that does use the tracker application. It does not submit negative expenditures. The portal will not allow negative expenditures to be submitted. So claims with negative expenditures in your records, those negative expenditures get separated out, do not get included with the claim. They instead get put in the remarks section. So if you had, $200 worth of refunded expenditures, those $200 would be included as the positive $200 would be included in the total amount that was requested, but there would be a note in there that said to reduce the total amount of the claim by that $200. And I think that is what's causing the claims to get that rejected as a 310. It's not that there's an actual negative expenditure listed in the expenditures, is that there's a note in there saying that there exists negative expenditures that need to be taken care of. And I'm currently working with a couple of VR agencies and trying to figure out how we can match up the initial payments with the refunds, which is proving to be a little bit challenging, but I think that we'll be able to work something out to where the system can automatically pick out which expenditure goes with which refund, and only the total, if there is any left of the expenditure minus refund, will be included on those in the future. But that's something we're still working on. So for the time being, if you're getting rejected because of that, in the application, you can go in and see all of the negative expenditures. They don't show up on the claim forms, but they will show up if you go in and look at the record. So you can go in there and manually correct those in the tracker, and then you should be able to submit that claim again, and it will then be accepted and will not have any negative expenditures with it, and that should allow you to submit those. So until that negative expenditure issue gets worked out, you can fix those claims in the system and resubmit those claims.
Thanks, Jay.
I heard that. Yeah, there was one item that someone had brought up there about records getting rejected because that was never put into, that individual was never put into in use. What I would recommend is that you look at the in-use history that you have, either your files that you've submitted or if you're using Tracker, to look and see if there's a history of that file being submitted. Because I know that I've had people report to me that they've submitted a file and gotten it back that said it was put into in-use, and then they've looked up that record on the portal and it was not put into in-use. And I think the Social Security will make accommodations if you can prove that you actually submitted that record as an in-use, even if it isn't in their records, that if you have that initial file or the original file that you submitted to them and can show that to them, I would think they would change that consideration about that rejection if it was at least attempted to be put in use and was because of system error that it did not actually get put into in-use.
Absolutely.
And then
all
the last item.
Let me know that ahead of time.
Right. The last item, I just wanted some clarification on when to submit records as reconsiderations versus the initial. In those XML files that get submitted up to the portal, there's a field in there that allows you to select whether it's a reconsideration or an initial claim. And I wasn't clear on when it should be submitted as a reconsideration and when it should be submitted as an initial claim with a note. Could you clarify that?
Okay. Sure. Any claims that were denied in Vermis cannot be inputted in
Vermis,
the portal.
I heard you mention that term, but I'm not sure what that is.
I'm sorry. Vermis is our old payment system. We have a new payment system, which is Vermis and ITOPS that we use now. So anything that was paid in the old system, the date cannot be propagated in the new system. That's why the date that the claim was initially, the date that was of the initial claim that was actually denied has to be in the remarks. For any claim that was denied in Vermis, the old system. In the new system, if
you have
a claim
denied. Do we have a
date
that I could use? So, like, I could say anything that happened before this date, do it that way. Anything that happened after this date, then use the new rules.
Yes. March 3rd, 2017.
All right. So if it was submitted with a date prior to that, then it should always go in as an initial. And then with a note that says that it was a reconsideration, and then the information, the relevant information about when it was submitted originally?
Correct.
Okay. And then the new, like, so any new reconsiderations for claims submitted after that date, they should be coded as a reconsideration. And then I know there's a field in there for the parent SDR claim number, and I believe that is supposed to be the work case ID for the initial claim. So on the new ones, they should be coded as a reconsideration,
a recon,
and have that initial one in the actual XML file, the original claim number.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I will make sure to add that functionality in on the next time we put out an update.
Okay. Thank you.
Looking through my notes, sorry. Yeah, I think that's it for right now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're next to David Leon. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm sitting with David Leon. This is Sue Teigen in Virginia. I have a question on service codes. I was provided a list of the SSA service codes and the RSA service codes. And I was wondering, is there a preference of which coding to use?
Hi, Sue. This is Shada. There is no preference. The reason why we gave you SSA and RSA codes is RSA provided information that with the update in WIOA in July of last year that some of the codes may change. We cannot change those codes in our system because our system was already built. So we, as fast as WIOA and RSA is changing their information, our system isn't ready for that. Our SSA codes are standard. They've been that way for the gazillion years, so we continue with those codes. Whichever one is easiest for you and explains the description of the item that you're submitting for reimbursement, you will have to know, and you'll have to decide what's best for you in case you're later audited or you have a PVR or we're audited.
Okay, that leads me to another question. I noticed that SSA and RSA use the same number with different descriptions. So, for instance, if I use 51, which for SSA is client room and board, how will you know that I'm not using 51, which means assessment, in the RSA service code? Are you just going to go by the description, which might be dormitory, so you would know that I'm using SSA code 51 and not RSA code 51?
So, as you're plugging in those codes, you have a drop-down, so it literally says RSA or SSA. Whichever one you drop it down to, we know those are SSA codes being used. The description also comes up on the screen in addition to the number, so we know what agency's code you're using, the number that you're using, and the description of the code.
Are you referring to if I'm not putting them in one by one manually, I'm doing batch XML file?
If you're doing batch XML file, then just choose whichever one you want to use, and you still can do the same thing because it'll come through the system that way.
Okay, but when I'm changing them in Tracker to a 51, it doesn't give me a drop-down box to select SSA or RSA coding. So it's just going to come through as a 51, and it's not going to match my dormitory if you don't know whether I'm using RSA or SSA. That's what I'm referring to.
I believe you have to talk to Jay about that, but I do believe Jay uses RSA codes because he's following the guidance from WIOA.
Right, he is. I did notice in our tracker system it's all RSA codes, but unfortunately there's not an RSA code for a dormitory situation, which we use a lot. And then I'm getting questions from the SSA claims examiner saying that too many of our expenditures are falling under other. So I was trying to fine-tune it, but I'm having a problem because I have to use SSA codes.
So if you're having those type of issues, first of all, there has to be some type of RSA code related to housing or some, like, you have to find the code that matches your needs exactly or closest to your needs. What happens in the case of other, where a lot of people were put in other, later on they were having PVRs, and then we would look for payment for other, and we didn't know what other was, and so you're under audit, and we're like, well, it clearly says you bought a pair of glasses, and we have rehab technology for that. So that's our issue, that you have to follow in the system where there are other codes that can be used to address those things. So I don't know if it's housing. I don't know how else you would want to code it, but you're supposed to be matching what it is closest to that thing that you have, just because later on you could be in trouble in case of an audit, and then we have a whole bunch of other codes.
Do you have a suggestion for what code we would use for a dormitory situation at our rehabilitation center?
So please email the help desk, and then
okay.
I can guide you further on those codes.
All right, thank you very much. That's it.
A follow-up from Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
I have one more question.
Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead, Eugenia.
Okay. I did send you a sample of a justification letter that was received by one of the states. The justification of wages. Is that something new? And are we going to be getting those regularly?
Hi, Eugenia. This is Shada. I saw the letter. So something happened in the system where that letter went out as a fluke. We have usually, if you're late or untimely, then we deny you untimely. If by chance prior to that you send an email to Raquel or the help desk saying, I have a reason for being untimely, which we look at for each agency or each claim on a case-by-case basis, we will do that, then we usually decide if you can have untimely reprieve. Those notices were set because of the way the new system was set. It followed the guidelines of the business process, and that's why the notices are even in there. That is very unusual that notice was sent out, and you should not receive any such notice going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, the part that was disturbing to me was the fact that it was, like, a month late. And, you know, when we work on a quarterly basis, because that's all we have access to, basically, in wages, and, you know, normally they have a little leeway for us. You know, even if it's within the month or within the quarter. So, like I said, I didn't know if that was something new. they're going to be that stringent as far as the timeliness, because we are tracking thousands of people. And if we can get it within the quarter, we're doing good.
Eugenia, do remember that we are doing everything to follow. We just had an audit, and we had several suggestions made by the auditors. We are going to be visited by those auditors again in the very near future. So the process is you have a year from the CP of SGA. It doesn't really matter if it's a month off or 5 months off. We have to follow those guidelines. That's our policy, and we have been watched by the auditors. We're being watched, so we have to follow our policies and regulations closely.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up from Jay Morrow. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to clarify for Sue on the tracker application. Does allow you to use either one of the codes, but you can't mix them. So you can, like, if you wanted to have all of one type of service code, you can either go with all RSA codes or all Social Security codes, but you can't have some that are RSA and some that are SSA. And right now their agency is set up for all RSA codes. And so I think if we just find a code that is suitable for the one that keeps getting cut, categorized as other services, that should correct the issue for you. That was all.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks,
Jay. Hey, Jay, this is Shauna. I wanted to thank you again for, thanks again for supplying that workaround also for the negative expenditures.
And Kevin, I'm sorry, Kevin, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, I was going to cut off the questions anyway. Thank you. At this time, we are ending the call. Just wanted to remind everyone that our next All VR call is Tuesday, April 10th, 2018, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, thank everyone for participating on the call. It was a great call for the start of the year. Anyone that has any additional questions, please follow up with us on the VR Help Desk.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.